We're going to start the third parak of Maseches Makos. Third parak is where a lot of the meat of this Masechta is. A lot of the really, really critical sugyas of the Masechta is here in the third parak. So we'll have to see how much we're going to be able to get to. Hopefully, the first Mishnah alone you could spend forever on, because what does the Mishnah say? Elvein Alokim. These are all of the Yisurim that you get Malkus for. So everything on the list is a sugya you could spend like a month on. You know, Achilas Chelev and Dam and Nosur and Pigul and Mamzeres and Nesina, all the Nevelas and Trefus, Mais Rishaini, Tevel, Mais Rish. All of these things you could spend a month on any of these topics. So I don't know why I decided to skip straight to the end of the Mishnah. And you know, maybe we'll come back and discuss some of the other items on the list. But I decided we're going to start with the concept of Beria, which comes up at the end of the Mishnah and is really an offshoot. It only comes up in the Mishnah as an offshoot of a discussion of Tevel. And Tevel also requires a certain amount of discussion, which I guess will be the next packet after the Beria packet. We'll do Tevel. I guess the reason I wanted to do Beria, I mean, we have some. We have to talk about Chayav Misus doing tshuva, Kamle B'Drab Mine, Chiv Kares by Mila comes up in this, Kimavol Kim Bitlu Bitlu, so many about Tashaktsu, Peya, hitting kids, so much that comes up in this Kedush Rishon, Kishal Shait, Kishal Haslav, Kalroi Labila, Bikurim, oh my gosh, the Yisra of Karchal Ameis, Leil Bashkever Simlasisha, tattoos, shaving. There's a lot here. Chiluk Malachos LaShabbos. Oh my gosh. All right, we'll have to. Lashon Hara. I don't know. We'll have to. Amidah Bifnei Tamidei Chachamim and Sifrei Torah. I don't know. Maybe we should take a vote on which, like, I don't know how many sugyas we're going to have a chance to do. Oh gosh. Okay. Minyan Tariq Mitzvahs, how do we count the 630 Mitzvahs? Makkos is loaded, especially this parak. So we'll have to figure it out. But right now, we're gonna get started on the Sugya of Beria. The Sugya of Beria is really a Sugya in two places in Shas. It's a Sugya Maseches Makkos and a Sugya Maseches Chulin. Now, the concept of a Beria, just before we even begin the Sugya, the concept of a Beria is that something that's an entire entity that can be viewed as a whole and not just a piece of something, but it's a whole, it's an entire entity, is going to be considered more significant. What does it mean it's considered more significant? So as far as our mission is concerned, what it means is that if you have, let's say, something that's tevel, that's produce, trumas and maizros have not been taken from, it's an isra tevel. So normally, in order to violate any isra achila, you have to eat, or for that matter, to fulfill any mitzvah sachila, you need to eat a kezayis in order to violate the isra and get punished for it. Even though chatzi shir asur min haTorah, but to be punished for an isra, you need to eat a kezayis, and to be rewarded for a mitzvah sachila, you need a kezayis. That's why we're so careful on the night of the Seder. We make sure that we eat a kezayis matzah, that we eat a kezayis marar, because you need to eat a kezayis. When it comes to violations of isurim, since you only get an onesh when you eat a full shir, so let's say with achila on Yom Kippur, if a person nebuch is very sick and has to eat on Yom Kippur, we try to make sure they eat less than a full shir at a time. Happens to be the shir in Yom Kippur is not a kezayis, it's a different shir, because it's not an isra achila on Yom Kippur. It never says in the Torah, it's unbelievable, good trivia, never says in the Torah you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It says that you have to be ma'aneh, your nefesh, you have to afflict yourself. So how do we afflict yourself? Well, there are chamesh inuyim, and two of the, and achil v'shtia is one of the inuyim, so you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Right? You know, what are the other inuyim? Tashmish, Nilas HaSandal, Sicha, and Rechitza, right? And bathing, washing. A lot of times they teach the little children in school that there's eating and drinking and bathing and anointing and wearing leather shoes. And that's five, because they count eating and drinking as two. But it's not really two, it's really one. But they don't want to teach the little children Tashma Shamita. So they make eating and drinking into two. But there are Chamishin and they're not allowed to do, but that happens to not be, what? Is that mutter to falsify the Torah in order to entertain little children, in order to educate little children? I don't know. It's a different thing. We'll put that on the 10-minute halacha list. I don't know. I mean, all those things are things you're not allowed to do. It's just that those aren't the Chamesh Shinuyim. You taka aren't allowed to drink on Yom Kippur either. But okay, so generally speaking, we always have a shir, that is a shir kezayis for isuri achila and for mitzvah achila, etc. So says the Mishnah, if a person toward the end of the Mishnah over here says the Mishnah that kama yochel min atevel v'yechayiv, how much does a person have to eat from tevel to be chayiv for eating tevel? Rabbi Shimon Amar Kolshu, tiniest amount of tevel. There is no shir for achilas tevel. That's what Rabbi Shimon sounds like he says. But cham mamrim kezayis, cham say yes, there is. It's shir kezayis like anything else. So Amar le Rabbi Shimon, yeah, tamadun libochel namala kolshu shu chayiv. So Rabbi Shimon says to the chamim, what do you mean there's shir kezayis? Wouldn't you admit that by Yisuri Achila, you could eat the tiniest amount and still be chayiv? For example, there's an issue to eat bugs. Let's say you eat one tiny little bug, way smaller than a kezayis. Most bugs that one would eat are smaller than a kezayis. If you have a bug in your salad that's the size of a kezayis, you're not going to miss it. You're gonna notice that. Most bugs we would eat are very, very tiny. They're smaller than the size of an olive. Wouldn't you admit that you're chayiv for eating a tiny little bug? Amr lav meneshu kibriyasa. There it is. Chum say, yeah, it's different. That's a beria. But tevel, you need a tiny amount of tevel. That's not a beria, but a bug is kibriyasa. Amr lahens, Rabbi Shimon says, well, avchita achas kibriyasa. Let's see, one kernel of wheat. One kernel of wheat is also a beria. That's also an entire entity. So therefore, if you eat just one kernel of wheat, you should be chayiv as well. So it's interesting, from the Mishnah itself, before you get to the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Shimon changed his tune. At the beginning, Rabbi Shimon says, kol shehu, tiniest amount, which sounds like even a half of a kernel of wheat, which is certainly not a beria. You're going to be chayiv. Then Rabbi Shimon says, well, chita achas is a beria, so you should be chayiv. Sounds like, yeah, but a half a kernel, you would not be chayiv. So the Gemara clarifies on Daf Yud Zayin what's going on in this conversation. And the Gemara says what's happening over here is that Rabbi Shimon holds kol shehu. Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no shir for the Yisra Achilas Tevel. Even if you eat the tiniest amount of Tevel, you're already going to be chayiv. And even if you eat something that's not a berry at all, you take the kernel of wheat and you grind it up and you make flour, and you eat a little bit of flour, a kol shehu, a flour of tevel, Rabbi Shimon would hold you chayiv. And the chachamim hold that no, you need a kezayis no matter what. Now, what Rabbi Shimon means when he says, but wait a second, if you eat a single kernel of wheat, you're chayiv, he means to say, I hold that you don't even need a single kernel of wheat. Even if you eat just a tiny bit of ground up flour, you're going to be chayiv. I hold any amount of tevel is chayiv. But you, the chachamim who hold that you need to eat a kezayis, why does it have to be a kezayis? Sometimes, when you have isurei achila, you can substitute, instead of having a kezayis, you could have a beria shlema. Have a complete entity that's smaller than a kezayis, and that counts the same as a kezayis. Just like a bug is a complete entity, smaller than a kezayis, that counts. So Rabbi Shimon says to the Chum, l'shitascha, according to you, a little tiny kernel of wheat should also be a beria. And the Chum respond, no, we don't think wheat is a beria. We don't think a kernel of wheat is a beria. The definition of beria means it has to be a complete entity that has, as the Chum say in the Gemara, that has a neshama, that has berias neshama chashuva, that chita lo chashuva. Only a beria that has neshama. So how would you define neshama in this context? A soul? Does a bug have a soul? How do you define neshama over here? How did you learn the Gemara? What does it mean, neshama? A living entity. It had life that it was given. There are different levels of creation. Right? There's what's called domeim, sameach, balchai, and medaber. That's and then the Kuzari writes, and the fifth level is Yisrael. At the lowest level of creation is a domeim, a rock, this table, doesn't move, doesn't grow, it just is. Then a sameach is something that grows like a plant. It's a higher level of creation. It's a living thing. And then there's Balchai, which is really alive, meaning it's not just a plant that grows when you water it, but it is actually alive, like an animal, or a bug, or things like that, the animal life. Then above that is a medaber. Medaber are people. People could speak. That's what we have over the animals, that we're able to communicate orally, we're able to communicate verbally, rather. We're able to formulate words and to speak. That's a medaber. And Kazari writes, Yisrael is a higher level of creation, which is a big chiddush, right? Because he's saying that it's not just that we are in the same category as other people, but just chosen or given more kedusha or whatever. But we're a totally different category. We make up our own category. Yisrael. They say, Rav Shachty used to always say that people from Brisk used to say that there's a sixth category, Rav Chaim. That Rav Chaim wasn't just better than everybody else. He was his own category of Bria. That he was beyond, so far beyond everybody else. That he was Kilu, his own category of Bria. All right, that's a joke, I assume. But that's the idea that in order for it to be a Beria, it has to be in the category not just of a Sameach. It has to be above that. It has to be something that's a Baal Chai, something that has neshama, something that has some sort of life. So that's a Machlokas Tanaim over here. Now, all we discuss in our sugya is if you're eating just the beria. Did you violate the isser? Did you get punished for the isser when you eat just the beria? That's what our sugya is about beria. Now, is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? By the way, this is a hugely important sugya lahalacha. Hugely important lahalacha. Why is this hugely important lahalacha? Vegetables. Right? One of the big issues in kashrus today is checking vegetables for bugs. Well, we go crazy checking vegetables for bugs. Aren't things batel b'shishim? So if you don't have shishim lettuce connected to bugs in your salad, you probably wouldn't want to eat that salad anyway. You would assume you have at least shishim connected whatever tiny bugs are in the salad. So we go crazy about it. What do we need to drive ourselves nuts about? It's batel. Why do we go crazy about it? So what it all boils down to is beria. That if a bug, even though it's very, very tiny, and it should be batel, but if it's an entire entity, then it can't become batel. Now, our Gemara doesn't say that. Our Gemara doesn't say it can't become batel. Our Gemara is not talking about a tarovis. It's not talking about a bug mixing with other things. What's our Gemara talking about? Where you're eating just the bug. You're eating just the chita. That eating this tiny little thing counts like you're eating a kazayis. That's our sugya. The sugya in Chulin discusses, and what if that tiny little thing gets mixed in with other things? Is it batel or not? That's a separate sugya. Our sugya is when you're eating just this. Now, there's an important distinction. The reason it's an important distinction is our sugya talking on a daraisa level or a drabbanan level? Meaning, when you eat a tiny little bug, just the tiny little bug, not a salad, just the bug, chayv malkus midaraisa or midarabbanan? When we say that Yechayev for eating a beria. Yitevel, according to Rabbi Shimon's understanding of what the Chacham should have said, if you eat the whole kernel of wheat, Chayev Malkus, Midar Raisa or Midar Abanan? It has to be Dar Raisa. How do I know it has to be Dar Raisa? Because the very words, Chayev Malkus, mean Dar Raisa. Otherwise it would be Makas Mardus or something or nothing. But when we say that Elu Hein Alokin, these are things for which you get malchus, we have to be talking about it on a daraisa level. So this din of beria, whatever the source of it may be, and you could debate that, and it is debated, what the source of it is, it has to be a din daraisa. What about the halacha of bittel, the halacha that beria doesn't become batel, that a filu be'elef lo batel, you could have a whole entity, an entire bug, could be mixed in with a thousand times its volume of heter, and it's still not going to become batel? Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? So that we're going to see is most likely a din midrabbanan. That's not a din midoraisa. So while beria is thrown around here and there, you have to always ask yourself, what are we dealing with over here? Are we dealing with a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? There is a third place that beria comes up. Actually, let's take the second place first before we get to the third place. Okay, so take a look at the Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. I put it on the Mar Makamos over here. The Mishnah, source number 4, says the Mishnah, Hanotel Gira Nasha. What I really want to do with this sugya, this is an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch dedicated to beria. When you learn Yaradeya, when you learn Hilchos Kashrus, if you ever study for Smicha or just Tam, want to be a knowledgeable Jew and want to learn Halachas of Kashrus, so there is the normal curriculum of Hilchos Kashrus is to learn Hilchos Basar B'Chalav and Hilchos Taroves. So Hilchos Basar B'Chalav comes first, then Hilchos Taroves in the order of Shulchan Aruch. The smarter way to learn it is probably the reverse, to learn Hilchos Taroves first and then Basar B'Chalav, because Taroves has a lot of the rules that govern Kashrus, and Basar B'Chalav is a lot of the nitty-gritty and application of those rules. I'm not sure why the Shulchan Aruch put it in the order that it did, but the smarter way to learn it is Taroves first. And Taroves is very organized. Each siman is about a different topic in Taroves. So siman kuf in Yaradeya is all about beria. It's one siman, four se'ifim long. It's not a very long siman. Just about Beria. Just about the halachas of Beria. So what I want to try to do is start with the Gemaras, work our way through the Beis Yosef, and see how it comes out in Shulchan Aruch, and then discuss some of the lamdas behind it as well. But I want to work through the sugya, both la halacha and in terms of the lamdas. That's the goal, at least. I haven't done it myself yet, but maybe we'll be doing it together, okay? So let's see. So says the Mishnah in Chul and Daf Tzadi Vav Amar Aleph. Hanotel gira nasha tzorech sheyitol es kulo. Rabbi Yudah Amar kedei lekayim bo mitzvas netilo. Ha'ochel migir anasha, here's the more relevant part. Ha'ochel migir anasha kezayis sofeg arba'im. If a person eats a kezayis of a gir anasha, chayiv malkus. Achlo ve'ein bo kezayis, chayiv. If you eat it and it doesn't have a kezayis, chayiv. Achol mizek kezayis u mizek kezayis, sofeg shmonim. If you eat from this a kezayis and from this a kezayis, you get 80 malkus. Rabbi Domarino Sofik Alabram, you only get 40. What's going on in the Mishnah over here? What does it mean that Achlo ve'ein bo kezayis, you're chayiv? What do you mean? We just said that only if you eat a kezayis, you're Sofik Arbayim. You get 40 malkus. So we say, but if you eat it and it doesn't have a kezayis, you're chayiv. Well, that's against the last line. No, what's it saying? If you eat the entire gid and it's ein bo kezayis, the gid is a small animal, so the entire gid is less than a kezayis, chayiv. So either you eat a portion of an animal's gid that is the equivalent of a kezayis, or if you eat an entire gid that's less than a kezayis, you're going to be chayiv. Good? So says the Gemara. Skip the next paragraph after that. Ho'achol migir anasha. Amar Shmuel. Lo asra tara elosh al akaf bilvach. Shenemar al kaf hayarech. Amar papa kitanai. Achlo ve'ein bo kezayis chayiv. Rabbi Yudah omer ad sheyehei bo kezayis. If you eat it and it doesn't have a kezayis, Tanakama says you're chayiv. Rabbi Yudah says, no, you're only chayiv if you eat a kezayis. My time of the Rabbanon. Why did the Rabbanon hold that if you eat it and it's less than a kezayis, you're chayiv? Beria he, because it's a beria. Rabbi Yehuda would say, Achilah ksiva bei. I don't care that it's a beria. The isser of gid is an isser of achilah. Achilah is always defined as a kezayis. V'rabbanan, hahi achilah d'chiyis bei arba v'chamisha zesim, v'achal chad kezayis mechayiv. The Rabbanan would say, nah, when do you need to do what we would normally call an achila? If you have a very large gid, which is way more than a kezayis, then all you need to be chayiv is to eat one kezayis. But if you're dealing with a tiny gid that's less than a kezayis, you don't need to eat full kezayis, you just need to eat the gid. Rabbi Yudah Meir Shar al Kaf HaYarech Nafka, and then Gemara goes back and forth a little bit in terms of how Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan each respond to each other. Good, so that is the Machlokas Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan. Generally speaking, Machlokas Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan, how would you paskin? Generally like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the ones over here that say that you're chayiv for eating a beria. That you're chayiv for eating a size of a beria. Now again, is this about bittul yet? We're still not in the parsha of bittul. This is about eating a beria itself. Now, had you learned the sugya in Makos, would you have defined a gid as a beria? If you just saw the sugi in Makos, not the sugi in Chulin, would you have defined a gid as a beria? In Makos, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, right? Rabbi Shimon says, I define a chita as a beria. The Rabbanan say, no, there's no neshama in a chita. So it's not a beria. How would you pass Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, generally speaking? Probably Rabbanan also, right? Rabbi Shimon would be the shita of a yachid, right? So it seems that the Rabbanan are defining a beria as something that has neshama. If you just learned the sugya in Makos, would you call a gid anosh of an animal, would you call that a beria? So you could, I could hear both. I see shaky, yes shakes and no shakes. Why do you say yes? Because it's part of life, it has neshama. See, even according to the Rabbanan's very strict definition of a beria's got to be something that has neshama. So a gid qualifies. Argue?
It is not the
it's not the animal. It's a piece of the animal. Right? Meaning, let's say you pull a leg off of a bug. And you eat just the leg of the bug. Is that a beria? Probably not. Hochel namala. You eat the whole bug. You're going to be chayiv. So why would the gid be any different? The gid is a piece of an animal. It's not the whole animal. Yes, it has that qualification that it was once alive, so it has that going for it. But it wasn't alive, it was part of a living thing. The very definition of beriah is that it's an entire unit. And yet the Gemara doesn't even debate that point, whether a gid is a beriah over here. The Gemara just discusses whether you're chayiv for a beriah. But it doesn't even seem to be debating whether a gid is a beriah. It seems to assume that a gid qualifies as a beriah, which really clouds our picture of how to define, how to be magdir, what exactly counts as a beriah. So if we're trying to keep a mental list of factors to consider when trying to figure out what's a beriah, what's not a beriah, number one on our list is our Gemara in Makos, that according to the Rabbanan, it needs to have a neshama. It needs to have once been alive to be a beriah. And let's keep in the back of our mind that Rabbi Shimon holds it doesn't need to have been alive, because we don't have a clear psak necessarily yet. Factor number two, that the Gemara seems to assume in Chulin, a gid is a beriah, even though it's not the entire living creature. So that's something else. Now, did I put the next Gemara on Chulin on the list here? No, Makaros. I didn't put Chulin Daf Kafal here. Okay. We'll get to it, though. We'll get to it. Yeah.
So are we able to take the Gemara and apply it to Makaros, and that any, like, full part of a body?
So that's what we have to figure out. Meaning, according to this Gemara and Chulin.
You said a leg, so that would be according to.
Oh, so maybe if you go by the Gemara and Chulin, maybe it's Machlokas HaSugyos. And according to the Gemara Chulin,
it doesn't necessarily have to, because you could apply the Gemara Chulin to the Gemara Makos, saying that since it was once living, so that would be considered
living. Oh, anything living, even if it's just a full part of a living body. Right, okay, one could conclude that. So let's see if that's la halacha, if we're able to conclude that. Spoiler, we do not conclude that way, la halacha. We assume, even we go so far as I think Rabbi Heinemann has a kula with a lot of the frozen broccoli that he's makel, that doesn't have to be checked so carefully, because apparently when they freeze the broccoli, the bugs that infest broccoli, I think it was broccoli, the bugs that infest broccoli, their eyeballs pop out. So they're no longer a beriah, because they're missing a part. So and then they'd be bata. Appetizing, right? So that's, I think that's one of the coolest that he has. What do you mean? But they have every other part of their body is intact. Shouldn't each part of their body be considered a beriah? Okay, so we have to discuss. We have to see.
You could also argue, if one part of the body is missing, does that take away the status of a beriah?
Like, what if it's a deformed?
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently by gid it doesn't. So we have to figure out what makes gid different. Oh, what if it's a deformed animal? It's a full living animal that only has a dog that has three legs. A dog, okay. That's, right, a bug that has, a centipede with only 99 legs. So it's a deformed animal. Okay, we'll have to see all these things. So there's a very Yesodistic Tosfos, a very important Tosfos in Maseches Chulin on the spot in Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. So it says Tosfos, my time at the Rabbanon, Beriyahi, Ubisov Pirkin Nami Amrinu Ki Agavna, Ochal Tzipor Tahora. One of my high school talmidim said, "Oh, I remember we once discussed beriah in Rabbi Friedman's class, and he said you eat a hummingbird. That's a beriah. Why would he say that example? So why does he say that example? Because the Gemara says you eat a tzipor tahora b'chayeha b'kol shehu, even if it's very tiny, even if it's less than a kazayis, you're chayeh b'misasa b'kazayis. But once when it's dead, it's b'kazayis." Eat a non-kosher bird, whether alive or dead, a kol shu. The an of tamei is considered a beria. Now, fractosos vim tomar maishna de ever minachai va'ov tamei v'gid v'sheretz chashivi tfei beria. So Tosfos starts to get to the geder of what a beriah is. He says, I don't understand. By an Avram and Achai, a limb of a living animal, an oftame, a gid, a sheret, those are considered a beriah more so than a nevela tahora bimisasa. What's a nevela tahora bimisasa? So the definition of a nevela is an animal that died without the benefit of shechita. You hunted it, you shot it, it dropped dead of a heart attack, right? That's a nevela. Tahora, whenever we talk about a behema tahora, a lot of times people mistranslate because we're so used to tamei and tahor, meaning ritually pure and impure. Behema tamea does not mean a ritually impure animal, and a behema tahora does not mean a ritually pure animal. A behema, a live animal, cannot be ritually pure or impure. Tumah is only for people and for foods and for things like, and for kalim. There is no such thing on animals. So what is a behema tahora? Kosher animal. So you have a kosher animal that's a nevela, v'misasa b'kezayis. When it's dead, it's a kezayis. The shear is a kezayis. V'lo chashiva beria. And apparently it's not a beria. V'chein tevel lo chashvi le rabbanon beria b'makos. And tevel also, the rabbanon don't consider a beria. So what's going on? How are we magdir what is and isn't a beria? V'yishlomer dahainu tayim v'dahani d'chi amar achmano lo sochal gid v'lo sochal ov tamei. V'chein be'evr menachai ki ilu piresh ben gadol ben katan. Dikulu mikru gid va'o. Uvach yushlem. Says, it depends how the Torah formulates the issur. Not intuitive. This is not what you intuitively would have answered. Right, we're thinking about, okay, let's analyze. Put all the items on the table in front of us, and I'll tell you what distinguishes these that are called the berry, what distinguishes, right? We're thinking about like analyzing them physically, like looking at them. Says tells us, no, you're not going to find your answer that way. You have to look at the psukim in the Torah that tell us that they're usher. And if the pasuk in the Torah says, don't eat this bird, then anything that could be defined as this bird is going to be in the Isser, whether it's small, big, or whatever, smaller than Gezayis, bigger than Gezayis, that's going to be called the Beria. That's included in the Isser. It all depends on the wording. So when it says, don't eat Aver, Min, Hachai, so that doesn't mean don't eat an entire living creature. It means anything that could be defined as an Aver of a living creature, a limb of a living creature. That would be a Beria. Don't eat gid. The Torah says can't eat a gid and usher. Does the Torah ever say don't eat the leg of a non-kosher animal? No. And therefore the leg of the bug, like you were saying before, is not a beria. Because that's not the iser. The iser is not to eat a behemah tmeya or a sheret or whatever. Whenever whatever the wording of the iser is, so whatever can fit that definition, big or small, is the issue. Good? Aval nevela, chatiha nami mashma nevela. By nevela, a piece is also nevela, v'chein tevel. Diaviksiv al tochal chita shel tevel, oz havachash beria. When it says don't eat tevel, it says don't eat tevel, it doesn't say don't eat a kernel of tevel. If it would have said don't eat a kernel, then the kernel would be called a beria. But it's not. We don't paskin that a kernel is called a beria. We assume like the Rabbanon that. So, meaning, how's Tosan saying the Rabbanon Shita? It's not necessarily about the neshama. It's not necessarily about the fact that it's alive, even though that's what the Rabbanon say, that since it has a neshama, it's considered a beria. It's not really about it being alive. What's it really about, according to the way Tosan's understanding? It's about just the wording of the issur, right? So it says, don't eat tevel. So what's the definition of achila? Definition of achila is a kezayis. If it would have said, don't eat a chita of tevel, so then anything that's a chita would have been aser, even if it's less than a kezayis. Good. And he says, this is implied in the Gemara in Shavuos as well. The Kamar Eichel Matzino Bochel Kol Shu Shechayiv Uparach V'lo V'arei Mefarish Perish Shavuos Shalo Ochel Kol Shu. So mashma the time of the variyavi ki ilu pirei shakasim shlotochel ben gadol ben katan. Says the Raya is the Gemara in Shavuos talks about beria in terms of a shavua. That if what would be an example of eating a kolshu where you'd be chayiv? Let's say you're mefaresh that you're not even going to eat a kolshu of something. You take a shavua. I'm not going to, you know, I'm swearing off chocolate. I'm not even going to eat a kolshu of chocolate. So how could you be chayiv? You're eating a kol shu, it's less than a kezayis. Yeah, because you said a kol shu. And that's like a beria. How's that like a beria? Chocolate's not a beria. No, what makes it a beria? When you take a shvur, you're creating your own Isser Da'uraisa. And when you create your own Isser Da'uraisa by taking a shvur or a neder, you have the right to word that Isser however you want to word it. So by wording it in such a way that a tiny amount is going to still be considered a violation of your shavur, your neder, that's the wording of your Isser Da'uraisa. Memela, it's just like a beria. Says Tosfos, what you see from there is the definition of beria depends on the wording of the Isser. She said every other Isser in the Torah except for Shavua and neder, we don't get to choose the wording, it's just the wording that God gave us. Why? It says don't eat a kid.
So, I'm saying, so then, but if you say based on the wording that you can't eat, that you cannot eat a kid that's smaller than a kid, then you shouldn't be able to eat anything that's smaller than a kid.
Why?
Because that's what's not the
it's not a kid. If it's just a piece of a kid, it's not a kid. I'm not allowed to eat a kid.
Kid that's smaller than a
right, that's a beria.
So since it would be on the wording, so then anything.
Why anything? Why I'm not following.
Saying, when we're saying something that's smaller than Kazayas is a barrier, so then how can we say...
Can be a barrier, not always. It can be a barrier if the Torah worded it in such a way that the Torah gave this item chashivus by saying, don't eat a gid. So I see that a gid is a davar chashiv, no matter how big it is. And therefore I'm in violation of eating gid even by eating a tiny gid. But the Torah never says don't eat a leg, don't eat an arm, don't eat a finger.
So all we know is kid, we don't know anything else.
Right. Right, because that's the only part of an animal's body that was identified
so
as its own
issue. Less than a kazayas on anything else would be.
Well, most of the time it won't be. Unless it's the entire bug. The Torah says don't eat a sheretz. Don't eat a bug. So even though the entire bug is less than a kazayas, but it's I'm eating a bug. And therefore, it's a violation of that wording of the Torah. So that's Tosfos Geder. That it all depends on how the Torah decided to word the particular issue. Frak Tosfos, but wait a second. Vim Tomar, Ditanan Viperik Eluena Lokin. It says in Makos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Kama Yochel Mena Tevel V'yechayiv. How much tevel do you have to eat to be chayiv? Rabbi Shimon Omer b'kol shu v'chamor b'gzayis. Omelam Rabbi Shimon yatam odem ochel nemol kol shu shechayiv omelam neshi kabriyasa. Omelam afchita kabriyasa. With the Zohar Mishnah we had this. Umasik b'gemara. Dil Rabbi Shimon kol shu lamakos afilu kemach. That Rabbi Shimon holds, even if you eat a tiny amount of tevel, even if it's flour, you get malkos for it. And Rabbi Shimon was just saying, according to the Rabbanan, that you should at least admit to me that a chita achas is a beria. For Rabbanan, berias neshama chashiva, the chita lo chashiva. And the Rabbanan say, no, chita was never alive. Ask Sosos Vashakasha. Hare gid ve'evr menachai de chashivi beria, alma lo talya milsa b'neshama. Different than what you guys thought, no? He says, according to the Gemara Makos, it needs to be in a Shama in order for it to be called a Beria. But we're calling a Gid a Beria. We're calling Avram and Achai a Beria. That's not Neshama. That's not Neshama. Why is that not Neshama? Because it's just a piece of the animal. It's not the real Neshama of the animal. Neshama would mean the animal, the living thing. A Gid wasn't alive. It was part of a living thing. And says even further. Let's say the chita was alive. I don't know, let's say the chita started to talk and walk and whatever. It would be a little freaky. Right? Let's say it was alive. Would it then be a beria? According to our definition, now Tosfos says, according to my definition, no, it still wouldn't be a beria. Because what's the definition of beria? Depends on the wording of the Isser in the Torah. The Torah says, don't eat tevel. It never says, don't eat a chita of tevel. It just says don't eat tevel. So it's only because I is. It has nothing to do with whether it's alive. So Tos is asking is that Gemara Makos is so misleading. Our Gemara Makos makes it sound like it all depends. Alive, not alive. It has nothing to do with whether it's alive, according to me, Tos says. Because the preacher is all dummy lim farish lotochal tevel ksiv, loksiv lotochal chito shal tevel. Venir le farish, so says Tosa, I think Pshad is. The Rabbanon le divre Rabbi Shimon kamahadrile. When the Rabbanon say that it doesn't have a neshama, just like Rabbi Shimon, when he argues with Rabbanon, he's only saying, Lishi tascha, that you hold that there has to be a shear. I think even a kolshu. You hold there has to be a shear, so let it be, let that shear be, even if it's a chita. So the Rabbanon, when they respond to Rabbi Shimon, they're responding, Lishi tascha, Rabbi Shimon. And they're saying as follows, Lidi da, anafilu avichita neshama lo chashiv leberia. If you ask us, the Rabbanon would say, even if the chita were alive, and were walking and talking, it wouldn't be a beria. Because again, the Torah never said don't eat a chita of tevel. It said don't eat tevel. But you, who don't apparently aren't gores, you don't apparently think that the wording matters. But at least you have to admit that it's still different than a bug. Because a bug is alive, and this isn't alive. Wild chiddush, no? Tosfos is so convinced that it depends, that the definition of beria depends on the wording in the Torah. He takes the Gemara in Makos, where the Gemara in Makos very clearly says that it all depends on neshama or no neshama, and Tosfos says, nah, that Gemara is saying, lididach, lishitascha. Everyone's joking in that Gemara. No one's being said. Everyone's saying, no, according to me, I'm not even talking according to me, what I really hold. I'm talking according to you. Your mistaken opinion. And no one's being serious. Unbelievable, no? Oh, so Tosfos says, how can I say that? Vikasha, hey, chun matzinu kazesh, mashivin tamlet var vei masamein musarim shi yadavar tali bin shama. Where do you find that? He says, lishitascha, and they respond back, lishitascha. He says, yeah, yeah, sometimes the Gemara has such discussions. And he quotes another Gemara that has such a discussion. Okay, so we're scratching the surface now. We're scratching the surface. The other major Rishon that needs to be seen in being Magdir Beria is the Ran in Maseches Chulam Vavarav, source number 6. And then we'll be able to start really going through this La Halacha and all the different applications La Halacha, okay? So Bez Hashem, tomorrow, let's take a careful look at that Ran, and we'll go from there. Okay.